to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. You're blessed by the Lord moment by moment, for with every breath we have an opportunity to praise Him, serve Him, love Him. So let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's so good. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise you, Father God. We praise you and give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. You are a good God. Praise God. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I got a little, I was born in Colorado. I was born at Fitzsimmons Army Hospital. It is now dwarfed by the veterans hospitals there. But I want to give you a little history of Colorado. Because God gave me some revelation knowledge. And you know, that's one of the spirits in Isaiah 11. We have the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and we have the spirit of revelation knowledge. So as we get deeper into the Word of God, He brings the mysteries out for us to understand. Oh, it's so exciting. So the name Colorado has its origin in the Spanish language. It is derived from the Spanish term color red. When Colorado was organized as a territory in 1861, Congress chose this name for the state. The Spanish explorers in the Rocky Mountain region named a river they discovered Rio Colorado, referring to the reddish silt carried by the water from the mountains. The word Colorado, or Colorado, like most of us say, itself signifies ruddy or reddish, a fitting descriptor for the state's vibrant landscapes and natural beauty. If you drive up through the Red Rocks, oh, so beautiful, you will understand why the Spanish called it color red. And I've known the meaning of Colorado most of my life. You know, I was born here. But not until 2 weeks ago did I truly understand what the Lord is trying to tell me. And I don't know if the Lord is for Republicans or Democrats. It's like when we have football teams that we're rooting for. We pray, oh, God. And then we go on to with our friends. Oh, there are five Christians on this football team. We need to pray for them. I don't know. But God is a God who honors life. And when the life of a child is ended in the womb, He grieves. He grieves for the one who ended that child's life. And be assured, that child is with Him. That child is with Him. But what that child could have done if given breath and completed the calling of God on his heart. I want you to know, I never vote for a pro-choice candidate. Never, 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 never. And you might ask, well, what if there isn't one? There has never been a candidate that is for life, pro-life. There's always one. You got to dig deep sometimes, but there's always a pro-life candidate. So I want you to know that. And I want you to be an investigator. I want you to search. I want you to examine when these elections come up. Be strong. Be aware. Be mindful of these things. Praise the Lord. Well, God asked me 2 weeks ago, what does Colorado mean? And I replied, red. And with that, He said, that's what it shall be. Now, I thought, that's what it shall be. See, Colorado was red. We've had Republican governors for a long, long time. And this is revelation, folks. When I heard that this red meant what I thought it meant 2 weeks ago, I was so excited. Okay, Lord, you're telling me this country, this state is going to go red again. One of these days, it's going to go red again. I told my group, my Bible study group on Thursday night, I told them, Colorado means red. Do you get it? Red? And Debbie, one of the people around the table, her eyes just got big as saucers. She realized for the first time what it really meant. Oh, when I heard what the people of Douglas County voted to do, to not allow the overflow of illegal aliens to come into their county, they signed a charter that says we are not a sanctuary county. I'm so blessed to hear that. And those of you who live in Douglas County, contact your board and representatives and thank them. Colorado will be red again. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God. God is in the process of tearing down those mountains of opposition as we shout grace, grace to those mountains. And you can find that in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7. And Zechariah is a book for the end times. It truly is. So when you read Zechariah, think, oh, this is coming up. This is coming up. Like the eclipse. That eclipse is from God, but who is giving God the glory for that eclipse? Well, I hope those of you who go out and see that eclipse and make sure you got your special glasses on, or when you travel to see it, I don't think it's going to be in Colorado, I don't know, but it's God. It's God doing this. He's warning us. He's preparing us for Jesus coming back. Hallelujah. So I'm excited. I am truly excited. Praise the Lord. Our memory verse for this week has been Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And in the message, it says, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. Praise the Lord. So, and next week, we're going to go Psalm 121, 3 and 4. Okay, so get ready. Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. We're going to go through Psalm 121, learning all these verses and then putting them together. Oh, I love that. I love that. And I know God loves that. God loves seeing his people love the word of God. My confession for today, I declare by faith that Holy Spirit gives me the strategies and ideas I need. I am willing and ready to do whatever he tells me to do. The Spirit of God was sent into this world to be my helper and my guide, and I know I can fully rely on him. I must have his direction or I won't know what to do. That's so true. So today he will speak to my heart. I will perceive what he tells me to do, and then I will obediently carry out his good plan for me. Even if in the sundry things that I do around the house, like in the morning when I wake up and I'm praying, asking God to bless my day. Today he asked me to go out into the office early so I could get four music CDs out to a friend in Arizona. So I went out there almost immediately. Okay, thank you, Lord. I will do that. And so I went out there and got them done. And I had been in the Word, so I got that done. And I had communion, so I got that done. Praise God. And all in sequence, all according to what God wanted me to do today. And then he got me into the notes in the Colorado red. Oh, hallelujah. As I was giving you some food for thought Tuesday, I began to realize what a dynamic and powerful occurrence that was in the upper room. We read about it, yeah, and we say, oh, wow, that's so good. But we have no idea the powerful presence that came into that room for those people that were willing to stay there those 10 days. Jesus knew all about it because he taught the disciples about the coming of Holy Spirit, saying, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, comforter, intercessor to come alongside, and he will be with you forever. He told his disciples that Holy Spirit will teach us all things and help us to remember the word that we've read and heard. Paul told us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Holy Spirit goes into the very mind of God. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 2 to bring those words that will help us further the gospel and help in time of need. And also Jesus said in John 20, chapter 20, verse 22, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go back just for a few moments to John 21. And this is when Jesus met them at the beach. They had breakfast together. Oh, I can't even imagine. I mean, I've had wonderful brunches and breakfasts. I remember Kimberly and I spending a couple days up in Vail and having brunch Sunday morning. Oh, my goodness. It was just absolutely wonderful and delicious. And we could go back to brunch over and over again with new plates. Oh, just amazing. But there's going to be a more amazing day coming. And when Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these? Peter didn't really understand. And he said, yes, Master, you know I love you. He asked Peter one more time about agape. Peter, do you agape me? Then feed my lambs. The third time, he said, Peter, see, he knew where Peter was. He knew that Peter was in a state of not quite understanding. He didn't have the revelation knowledge that we're going to read about here in a few minutes. And he asked Peter, Peter, do you phileo me? He got down to where Peter was. He identified with Peter. He related with Peter. And some of you say, oh, I'm so stupid. I never learn. Don't say that of yourself. Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know. And like in my instance, it's taken me 60 years to learn some of the things I'm now learning and overjoyed with. So don't think your time has passed. Don't think it's gone. Oh, don't do that to yourself, my friend, because he's such a gentle Holy Spirit, such a loving Holy Spirit. So when Jesus said, okay, Peter, I understand what you're going through. I understand the torment of your soul. And do you phileo me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He met Jesus with that same answer. And you will find out that Peter fed the lambs. Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, fill them up. And Peter did. When we see Peter running to the tomb the first day of the week, we see a surprised disciple of Jesus who is now realizing what Jesus was trying to tell them all along. Sometimes you go through various scenarios in your life wondering why you had to endure those events. And then all of a sudden, like a light bulb goes off in your head, and you see Holy Spirit was and is continually at work in you to fulfill the calling of God on your life. And that should be the most important thing in your life. Not a new home, not a new boat, not a new camper, not a new vacation, not a world trip. None of that should be as important as being directed by God to fulfill the calling he has on your heart. And every one of you listening has a calling from your heavenly Father. It's true. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called by God according to his purpose. His purpose, not ours. And boy, when we relinquish that pride and that stubbornness and that rebellion and say, okay, Father, this is yours. I know after Darren went to be with the Lord, okay, God, I get it. I get it. I want to draw closer to you so that you're the only one I think of all day long. Oh, he's so good. Well, let's go to Acts 4. A changed Peter. We come to the days following the outpouring of Holy Spirit. And here is Peter. And in Acts 4, verse 1 through 37, I won't go through all 37, but it's so wonderful. While Peter and John were addressing the people, the priests, the chief of the temple police, and some Sadducees came up, of course they did, indignant that these upstart apostles were instructing the people and proclaiming that the resurrection from the dead had taken place in Jesus. These religious leaders had just seen Jesus heal the 40-year-old paralyzed man at Gate Beautiful who got up walking and leaping and praising God. I love that old song. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, we used to sing that in Full Gospel, businessmen. They arrested them and threw them in jail until morning, for by now it was late in the evening. I think of the innocent victims of January 6th. 2021, that the left is trying to portray as the greatest infringement and insurrection of their democracy. Innocent men, some who just wandered into the Capitol and have been jailed for almost 3 years. I'm asking God to intervene on their behalf and bring justice to this dishonest and unfair imprisonment. I really am, and I encourage you and thank you for praying with me that these men will be released. It's just, it's wonderful to know that God is in control, but it's also, it's a wonderful thing to think that as we pray, asking God in Jesus' name, he goes to work on our behalf. It's going to come about good. The results are going to be good, folks. In Acts 4, verse 4, but many of those who listened had already believed the message. In round numbers, about 5,000. Wow. 3,000 the day before, 5,000 the next day. The next day, a meeting was called in Jerusalem. The rulers, religious leaders, religious scholars, Annas, the chief priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, the bigwigs. Everybody who was anybody was there. They stood Peter and John in the middle of the room and grilled them. Who put you in charge here? What business do you have doing this? With that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, let loose. He let loose. See, Holy Spirit gives you just enough that you can handle. And then when he comes in, his marvelous revelation, and fills you up to overflowing, you can't help but speak. So we just read in John 21 that Peter was not full of Holy Spirit. What happens? Some Christians believe that we don't need the gifts or the baptism of Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues to live a Christian life. Well, that's where the power is. That's where the power that Peter had to speak to these leaders. That's how you do it. That's how you get it, the baptism of Holy Spirit. Well, rulers and leaders of people, if we have brought the trial today for helping a sick man put under investigation regarding this healing, I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide, says Peter and John. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed on a cross, the one God raised from the dead, by means of his name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. Oh, I can't imagine the scene. Jesus is the stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. And he gets that from Psalm 118. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one name. Peter and John were standing there so confident, and the leaders realized that these two were laymen with no training in Scripture. They didn't know the Scripture like these Pharisees and Sadducees did. Pharisees and Sadducees knew the first five books by heart. They did, the Torah. They knew it by heart. They had learned it as young boys. And see, they had no formal education. It's because they didn't need the law anymore. They had Jesus. Oh. They recognized them as companions of Jesus. But with the man right before them, seeing him standing there so upright, so healed, what could they say against that? They sent them out of the room so they could work out a plan. That's what the left does. They have to have more committee meetings, more wordy things going on. After talking among themselves, they called them back and warned them that they were in no account ever again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John spoke right back. Whether it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. As for us, there's no question about it. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. The religious leaders released them because the people wouldn't have stood for them being jailed, for they were all praising God over the healing of a man who was over 40 years old. He shouldn't have been able to walk. Hearing the report, they lifted their voices in a wonderful harmony in prayer. While they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. Oh, we cast not away our confidence, friends. The whole congregation of believers was united as one, one heart, one mind. Oh, what a thrill to know that God is at work to restore and bring together our family. I know we've got factions here and factions there and divisions here, but he's getting a bride together, true believers who speak in the name of Jesus with Holy Spirit as their anchor, praise God, and a bride for Jesus Christ. Oh, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people.
The thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Oh, what a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Oh, what a joy His love affords when we meet in one accord. We lift our hearts.
I love it. Can you imagine how they were praising God and proclaiming his name? I'll bet the rafters of that house that they were meeting in, they were up and gone. It's like a tornado went through that place. Oh, I remember the memories of being at Gaither Studios and being able to just, John's arms were around me. It was so fun because for 23 years, he was at the piano. And this one time that we went to Gaither Studios in Indiana, John Innes, and he was playing the piano, Billy Graham's pianist. And so we were free to just stand there at the mics. And it was such a blessing. I'm so glad God gives me the memories of my wonderful husband, 6'1", and just loving the Lord. And I'm waiting for that day when Jesus comes and takes us home and we can celebrate with those who have gone before us. Oh, praise the Lord, friends. It's soon, very soon. Oh, and I'm going to continue for just a little bit here in Acts 4:24 through 26, although I'm so excited I could almost jump up and down in this studio here. And this, they've proclaimed, Peter and John, they were so educated in the Holy Spirit and the verses of Scripture from the Old Testament. They knew them by heart. You see, the Holy Spirit brought all this Scripture back to them when he filled them. And it says, when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God in one accord and said, "Oh Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said," and this is from Psalms 2, excuse me, "why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things?" See, that's what's happening. See, we can tell this is right before Jesus is coming back because the whole world is just discussing futile things. They're calling evil good and good evil. They're just discussing everything. They're so serious. They're in their chambers and in their getting audiences and everything and going to court and just, oh, they're just doing some important, quote, important things. They're futile. They're futile to the Lord. They went on to say in verse 26 of Psalm 2, "The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Now, they were quoting from Psalm 2, but this was in Acts 4. "See, for Herod and Pontius Pilate did meet with nations and peoples, even Israel itself met in this very city, Jerusalem, to plot against your holy son, Jesus, the one you made Messiah." They're praying to God here to carry out the plans you long ago set in motion. Oh, if when you read through the Bible with me this year, you will realize how many verses pertain to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. "And now they're at it again. Take care of their threats. Give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message." And that's what we're saying to God today. Take care of their threats. Take care of all these indictments. Take care of them, Father God, in Jesus' name. And as you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of your holy servant, Jesus, we praise you. We acknowledge you as Lord of heaven and earth. Oh, they didn't even claim ownership of their possessions. No one said, that's mine, you can't have it. No, they shared everything. The apostles gave beautiful and wonderful and powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master Jesus. And grace was on all of them. And so it turned out that not a person among them was needy. Those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the price of the sale to the apostles and made an offering of it. The apostles then distributed it according to each person's need. Isn't that beautiful? So beautiful. There was no grubbing, you know, money grubbing here. Joseph, called by the apostles, whose surname was Barnabas, sold a field that he owned, brought the money, and made an offering of it to the apostles. And this was the companion of Paul for just a little while. Barnabas traveled with Paul, and they had such a wonderful fellowship, and that was for a season. And then they had a little disagreement, and so Paul started going to the missionary, to the fields that God called him to establish missions with Silas. So we have that here on earth. Sometimes there's just a season. Sometimes you've known a person for 10, 20, 30 years, and other times you just know him for a season. But it's okay. It's okay. There's no guilt, no condemnation, no feeling of insecurity at all. We're of the family of God. Oh, what a thrill to know that we are part of that family of God. God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you grace and peace for everything you do this weekend. I love you. Know that and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.